Good morning. I've got that on, I hope. We're starting a new series related to faithfulness today, and we're going, Lord willing, over the weeks to come, look at faithful people, to learn about faithfulness, be encouraged by it, and to be faithful ourselves. And I thought I'd start with the fact that you know I take preaching really seriously, and just like one of those method actors, I really are into sort of living what I'm going to preach before I do it. So over the last month, I've been out there with the axe. I've been carrying some really not so heavy sleepers around the yard. I've been cutting them with a saw. If I was really diligent, I would have brought Paul's really big mallet and his level along today just to show my credentials. Look at my fingers. There's some proof anyway. I didn't make it up. But I guess that isn't strictly true what I'm saying about serious and method acting or preaching. But what is very true is the scriptures that were read to us beforehand and we're going to read now are absolutely true. In our world, they're ridiculed. In our world, people use them for jokes. In our world, people will say, well, they're sort of pictorial, they're meant to get a message across. But God has created the world. He's given us the scriptures. They have to be taken as they are. I believe they're true. I know many people here believe they're true, and we need to take them as such. And so this morning, we're going to look at Noah, who is faithful in reverence. In a wicked world, we see that Noah's reverence towards God led him to faithfully build the ark that would save his family and the animals from the flood. And we're going to look at three reasons or three things contributing to Noah building this ark. First of all, Noah was faithful in reverence. Secondly, he took hold faithfully of how God said he could be saved. And thirdly, I guess these things all combined really, he was faithful to God's purpose. Whatever God's purpose was, he was faithful to it. And we need to be the same. So let's start by looking at Noah was faithful in reverence. If we read from verse 7 of Hebrews 11, which is written many years later, but God talking about those who are faithful, he says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. In faith, by faith, in reverent fear, he constructed an ark. If we go back and read in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 6, what did God say to him? And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I'll destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubic above and set the door on the side of its ark, of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning things as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark. When you think about that ark, and if you want to put it up there now, there's someone who actually made an ark. I think they probably had a bit more resources, but they made an ark, and I think it's meant to be roughly to scale. I'm not sure exactly what the scale is. And if you want to overlay it, Hayden, there's what I think's an ark every time I see it. And if you can try and overlay it, that might be a little bit bigger, but it's roughly a little bit smaller than that, it would seem to be the size. Wherever I'm around Perth, I see that other thing. It sticks out like a sore thumb. It was quite a massive undertaking that Noah was given to do. And I think the only way it ever happened was because of faith and his reverence. Now, in the Bible study, if you chance happens, you might look at that a bit more. The reverence relates to being, I guess, godly, to serving God, to being like Jesus who came and served God. That ark got built, not because he's a great builder. I don't know, maybe he had skills or maybe he was as bad as me. But it got built, not because of his physical attributes. It got built because by faith in reverence. His belief in the Creator led him to revere the Creator, to serve the Creator, and go and do that. And you think about it, you've got to need faithfulness to do that. It seems maybe he got told about after he was 500 when he had kids, and by the time he was 600 years old, it was built. But the things that come to my mind, I would be saying, how can I do this? And it's only by faith in God and wanting to serve him that you're ever going to do it. I'd be asking the question, well, why? It doesn't make much sense. If people saw what was up there before being built on the land over time, it made no sense whatsoever. As I mentioned, people ridicule us today about the scriptures. That would have been the same ridicule from what God was saying about the people at that time. This big, massive wood on the land being put together. Why? But what we have with Noah is that he faithfully did it. There must have been days where he had problems, difficulties, didn't feel like doing it. The thing is, he wasn't a perfect man. That passage in Hebrews 11 says that he actually became an heir of the righteousness that is what? From faith. It says to us he was not righteous by himself. He was not perfect. He was not without sin. He probably did have days where he didn't feel that great about it. He might have had days where he questioned the sense of it. But he was faithful. He kept on going. He kept on trusting and reverently serving God. I guess the thing is for us to draw the analogy for ourselves. God hasn't come to me to tell me to build an ark. And I think he's not going to because of some of his other promises. But I am in this world and he has put me in the position I am currently in as he's done with you. And we might say, how am I going to keep on being faithful? And we might say, why does this make sense? That God has put me in this place to serve him in this way at this time. But what God is saying, look to my dealings with Noah. Don't worry about the how, I'm with you. Don't worry about the why, because it is the right thing. It will work out. And don't worry about the what, because if you think about it, what did Noah give up? It seemed to me, it must have been a massive exercise to go away and build that ark and still live in this life. It actually scratched my head. If he could build that, why wasn't everyone else building something as massive or something as fantastic? He must have given up so much. And if we're following God today in reverence because we believe in the living God, which most people ridicule, then we're not going to be looking at achieving or having things that other people might think. I think Steve mentioned a bit of that in his Lord's Supper talk. So let's remember the faithfulness over at 500 years of age, he was faithful. God found favour. Noah found favour with God. And he was faithful at 600 years of age because he built that ark. We need to continue in faithfulness as Noah did. If we go on to the second point, Noah was faithful to God's promise of salvation. Because by faith, Noah, he constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Now, I hear oftentimes people talk about, I would do all sorts of things to save my family, to save my children, to save my friends. You know, a lot of people would actually say, that's what I would do. But God says back here, only one person with his seven in his family was willing to save his household. If we go back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 20, let us see part of what that salvation involved. God said to Noah, of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, so in addition to building the ark, he's also to do this. Of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. So this was quite an elaborate salvation for Noah and his family. Build that massive ark, then somehow or other, I mean, God seems to help, get all the animals on board, also prepare for what seems to be about a year, get all the food for a year. This is what you've got to do. If you want to be saved, do it. And this is God speaking to the person he was favoured towards. He wasn't trying to oppress him. He wasn't trying to upset him or hurt him. He was actually caring for him. And he says, do all these things to save yourself and your family. Over in, I think it's chapter 7, verse 11. I must not have deleted that one out for you, Hayden. Sorry. So 7:11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark, they and every beast according to its kind. And then in verse 17, the things flooded. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out everything that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. This salvation involved hopping on that ark. It's dry outside. People don't know what a flood is. Hop on the ark. Goodbye. Everyone else just going about their daily lives. And the rain starts. And it just rains and rains. And the salvation involved being in that ark and being raised off the ground until there was no land left. And everyone outside that ark who breathed died. Animals, people. That was God's salvation. Noah is an example of faithfulness, that he believed that and he was faithful through all his years with that in mind for that salvation. Took a lot of effort, seems very complicated, has a lot of really bad impacts. A lot of people are lost and died. Noah took hold to that and was faithful to that salvation. If we turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, we are called to nothing different. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 20, notice something nice again about what's God like. He's not a vindictive God. God's patience waited in the days of Noah. In 2 Peter 3 it says he doesn't want anyone to perish. He's patient to all people. But he's also patient in respect to Noah and his family, so that the ark was being prepared in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as the removal of dirt from the body, but appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities and powers have been subjected to him. If there was something very simple, our family was going to be endangered, they need to be saved, we would go do it. In retrospect, if we knew everyone was going to be flooded and you could be saved from a flood by hopping in some big boat, we'd try and do something like that. Jesus Christ has come and died for our sins. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead to confirm that he will take away sins and give you life. That salvation is there for you. It's there for your family. It's there for us all to hold on to. We need to have the same faithfulness. When we first hear it, to accept it. But having been baptized into Christ, as it talks about, as time goes by, are we still faithful to that? Do we still recognize that is the only reason why we're saved? And of course, continuing in faith, in that trust, in that salvation. We need to remember that just as Noah was in that ark and above it and protected and kept safe by God, that baptism into Christ has brought us into a relationship where we continue to be carried above the waters of, I guess, evil in that sense, of being lost and of being saved, of being having that good conscience towards God so that we're pleasing to him. And thirdly, and I mean it's embedded in this already, by faith was Noah was faithful to God's purpose. It goes on, the last bit of Hebrews 11, to say that in all those things, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. The implications of this are quite massive. If we go back to Hebrews 6 and verse 5 again, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I'll blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things, birds of the heavens, for I'm sorry that I've made them. But Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord. People may read that and think, things were really bad, weren't they? God looked down and there was only eight people. God, who loves people, wants people to be saved, wants to be patient with people. He looked down and he could only find eight people to save. All the rest, he describes, the wickedness of man was great. It made him sad, so grieved. The thing is, we're no different. It's already been mentioned, but later on God said something, I forget the verse, but I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I'll never again destroy everything which while the earth remains. There is nothing in the scriptures to say people are better. But if you think about it, just in the time of Noah, was everyone saying, Noah, what a pillar of society, what a reverent man, look at the ark. He was described as a herald of righteousness. No one else believed it. By their very actions, they were saying, bit of a fool, this guy. We're okay. Things are okay with us. You might like to jump at Hayden, but in Luke 17, verse 26, you can read there that Jesus used the times of Noah and just said, look, it's no different to our times, no different to the times of day. And particularly he's talking about things that happen at a particular time. But in verse 26, just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And so it continues. That happens today. People don't think we're particularly bad. If I listen to what's said, we're all pretty good. We're all trying to love each other. We're all trying to get along. Sometimes bad things happen. That's really despicable, but that's not most of us. That's not what God is saying. The only reason God isn't destroying the world is because he's made a promise, and it's not his purpose at this time to do it. He's still grieved. He's still upset. And he's still seized. If you're part of the eight like Noah, he sees you. But if you're not part of the eight with Noah, he sees you too. And he's really distressed and he wants you to be saved. Noah's purpose was just to be faithful. From a worldly viewpoint, it wasn't much at all. from a godly point, it was amazing. It brought about the salvation of his family and the salvation that you can have today through Jesus. We ourselves, God's purpose for us may not seem that amazing. But this is how God looks at the world. This is his purpose. He wants people to believe in him, to be saved through Jesus. And we shouldn't be looking at what we're achieving. We should look at how we live for God. In Ephesians chapter 2, I'll finish that as a reading here, Hayden. Ephesians chapter 2, for those who are in Christ, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God. Not as a result of works that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship. The worker is really God, not ourselves. We are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. We need to be faithful like Noah. We need to be reverent. We need to believe in God, and in our reverence, responding to God, to serve him, to respect him, to do what he says. To take the salvation he offers to us and hold on to it, and always believe it's the only way to be saved. To recognise his purpose for all people is to be saved through Jesus. And there is no other salvation. And if you think about it, to recognise that in all that, the most important thing was God was faithful to Noah. And if you got that rainbow up there, that's the last bit. We're not going to read about it. But that is what a rainbow is about. After they came out on the dry land, God said, I'm putting this rainbow in the cloud, and this will remind me, it's my covenant between mankind and me. While the earth remains, I'm not going to do it again. That's what it is. God's faithfulness to people. God is faithful. It's unfortunately us who may fail to be faithful. If we're in Christ, let us continue in that faith. If you're not in Christ, I'd encourage you. Take Noah's example. God shows through Noah there's only one way. And that is to be faithful to God. To believe in Jesus Christ today, to be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, to raise up, to be able to continue living in that good conscience, having been saved by God. If anyone wishes to do that today, please come forward as we sing the last song.